For all of you that joined us as we kicked off our boot camp for church this morning, we thank you. Invite the rest of you to come join us next Sunday morning, 9:30. We're here for a time of teaching. We're just getting to the essence of what church is, what it's about. Who we are, why God has put us here, how we're set up to do ministry. All of that, you know, the essence of that and what it means to be a part of that in our lives. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me today to the 16th chapter of Matthew. As you're turning there, let me welcome you who are guests today. Dane alluded to that yellow card. I'd ask you to fill out, put your prayer request on every Monday morning. Pastors get together, we pray over those cards. We'd sure like to hear from you. If you have a new email address, you can put it down. And join us Thursday for prayer. I also reiterate what Dane said about, you know, some of you text in, you email in, and just let us know you're praying. And that's become a good bunch of people. So add to that, God is answering our prayers right now. He is moving. He is stirring the pot right now. The Spirit of God is stirring things right now. And I just encourage you to not miss out, to not be left by the wayside of something that God wants to do. Now, I want to read this passage, and then I've got somebody that's going to share something with us. Matthew 16, beginning verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He was asking His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." James, would you come up here right now?
Well, I'm hoping I can offer some imagery and some personal stories about why Life Group has been important to me and my family. What used to be my family, it's different now. We'll get there, Daniel. But my sycamore story starts about 300 miles from here. And if you're willing, I'm going to ask you, if I say something about you or I give something to you, I want you to stand up. But if you can't, don't. Only do it if you feel like God wants you to do it and you can handle it. But there was this prayer group that my sister was a part of, and the people that I know were there were my sister, Bethany, Terry, and Miss Julie, and I think Miss Tina was there. And they were praying for myself and my wife and my son Bailey that we had when we just graduated from high school. And they were praying for us by name. One morning in November, Steffi and I were doing a couple's devotional, and I read Joshua 1:9. I don't know if I'd ever read that passage before in my life, but that morning it meant something different. And it said, "Go forward and strengthen courage." And I was like, go where? I'm living in my house with my in-laws. It's not fun. I have a kid and I have no money. So make a phone call. Talk to, you're not standing up when I'm saying your name, Bethany, Julie, Terry. Make a phone call to Matt Manning. And I was like, man, I don't know what to do. Call his dad. He's like, hey, you can come work with me. Stand up. You'll see why. And so next thing I know, I'm at this life group thing, living with my sister, 300 miles from my family, from Stephanie and Bailey. And I'm sitting with Jason Rockwell, who I've never met. He does a improv too. Interview, and he gets me an interview with another lady, and then that lady's like, I can't hire you because there's too many qualified people, but I can tell a guy about you. And I end up with this job that I hated. that I worked for 6 months. But then Matt got a new job because he got laid off. And he got this new job, and I got an opportunity to go interview with those people. Worked that job for 7 years. So let me fill in some of the blanks here. Me and Stephanie were hanging by a thread. 9/11 had just happened. There was people with all kinds of degrees and everything. Bailey was born 11 days after 9/11. We graduated from high school. We had a baby. She moved away. We were hanging by a thread, and I had this lady, Terry, who says, there's a lady across town who you don't know, and you don't know me, but she can watch Bailey for a couple hours for you while you go to work, because I was working two jobs. If you don't know Miss Terry, she would dance in a dark room for God by herself. She doesn't do it for anyone else. She doesn't need that. This right here, this is Mr. Brian. Stand up. He's the rhythm section. We miss him when he's not here, but if he's not here, he's making sure the pipes are working in the kingdom of God. Fresh bread. See him one day up on a ladder at Enmark, working on the pipes during the job that I hate. And I know why he's doing his job, because he loves God. Mr. Don and Miss Debbie, they make pie. Dane eats it. Stand up. All right.
Stand up, Dane.
That's big Tommy Seidner. Did y'all know he's in the Coast Guard? Did you know that? Did you know that? One time, he told a story about having an almost boating accident, but God rescued him from it for some reason. He doesn't know this. It made a huge impact on my life. I don't know why. But God had a purpose for him. That's his son, little Tommy. He's not quite sure about us, but he just knows he likes being here. This right here, this is Mr. Don. Cancer doesn't scare him. He scares cancer. This is Dave. If Dave's not here, he's taking care of something really important at home. He wears black shirts. Stand up if you can. This is Miss Regina. She stares into the face of evil every day. Every day. She stares it down. That's Mr. Bobby. He doesn't care too much for his work, but he wants to know how he can share God while he's doing it. And if he can, it's enough to get through the day. This is his wife, Sophia. She can draw really, really well. She can draw so well, she teaches art. My stick men are not worthy, all right? This is her son, Sarah. Her son. This is our daughter, Sarah. This is Amy. This is her boyfriend, Will. I will beat him up if he hurts Sarah. Stand up. That's Joe. He might act like he's all fun and games, but Joe's one of the smartest kids I know. This is Lance. He likes the Browns, and that's okay. This is Beth. She sells houses for Jesus every day. That's Ryan Thompson's parents right there. Love Ryan to death. His closet is color coordinated. This is Miss Kay. She makes quilts, gives cookies, and reams of paper in case you need it. This is Joe. This is Dane's dad. He loves his wife so much, he donates 2,000 of his 2,500 words to his wife every day. This is the other David Strickland. He loves Civil War memorabilia, cannonballs, and he could sell shorts to an Eskimo. That's John. He can fix a projector in Nigeria before y'all start worship here. Dusty, did you turn on the power? Push the power button, Dusty. This is Uncle Roy. He fries fish. Travis, his son, his face almost fell off one time because he had an allergic reaction to latex when they had new carpet at the church house. This is Gail. She uses really big words I don't understand. This is her husband, Anthony. This is Carol. He likes Florida, but I still love him. That's his wife, Stephanie, with an F. That's Dr. O'Keary. His kids love to dance, High School Musical 1, 2, or 3. They'll dance to it, put it on. That's Miss Angie. She likes songs that come about randomly in the midst of a camp lunch that talk about the difference between men and women. Her husband, he lays tile. He loves Jesus. He's not scared of what comes next. That's Mr. Russell. He likes gadgets. His wife lets him buy them. This is Corey. He can write two lines that can paint a picture better than any professional artist. This is Daniel. He has four answers to every question. Jesus, love, God, and oh yeah. And they're all right. This is Miss Jerry. If you're not sure about the gospel of Jesus, let her take care of your kids. That's Miss Leslie O'Keary. She speaks English better than I do, and it's not her first language. Miss Frida, she's around here somewhere. Where'd she go? You know who's not here this morning? Robert Rentz. He's not here. Stand up for him, Zach. Where'd you go? He's gone too. I went to Life Group, Jay and Julie, and Robert and Stephanie would come and pull me and my Stephanie aside every week, and they would talk to us. And I was so thankful for it because I thought everybody else was weird. I was like, what is going on? And then we multiplied out with Terry and Jason. And one day Terry called us or emailed us, and she said, it was just, why weren't you there? Why weren't you here? And man, I snapped into my old religious ways, and I was like, I don't need anybody checking on me. And the intention wasn't, why weren't you here? We need attendance so I can put it in my book. It was, why weren't you here? Because we miss you. Because I remembered after I let my tongue get in front of my feet, Jason saying, man, we used to try to find excuses not to come to Life Group. And then we just decided we're going to come. We don't care if we're sick, dead, dying, we're going to come. And it's always been a blessing. And then one day I'm sitting in front of Mickey's Tavern, Cherry Point, off of 170 in South Carolina. Why is that significant? It's not. But what's significant is Jason Rockwell called me. He's like, man, I was just thinking about you. How you doing? Like, to be honest with you, I hate selling. I hate this job. But thanks for calling. 17-second conversation. Click. That's Gary. God's given, he doesn't play music. He chases a sound that God has given him. And we love to watch him chase it. Miss Gwen, she usually sits right about here. She comes in about 15 minutes late. She's not here today. She works at the Savannah Care Center, and she tells young women, it's okay. God loves you. You're not ruined. You're not broken. I'm with you. We're with you. I don't care what your name is. This is Dusty. If he's not talking about Jesus, 90% of what he says is probably made up or over-embellished. If he's talking about Jesus, 90% of it's true, and the other 10% he forgot because he got distracted. Stand up, Stephen. This is my brother Stephen. You see the family resemblance? Amen. Bathed in the blood of God, right? The blood of Jesus. Whenever I'm standing in front of somebody and they're questioning whether Jesus is real, I think of all of you. I could tell stories about everybody here. Kayshell, watch her smile. Look at the sparkle in her eye. Man, my dad was a pastor, and I'm not hating on other ways and other ways to do things and other religions. Man, it is not a religion. We just get a knock on the door. We're living in King George apartment, $675 a month. We thought we'd hit the big time. Because before we were paying $575 a month and there was roaches everywhere. And she's like, I just felt like I needed to come over here and pray for you. I never experienced that. There was all this piety and making sure you were looking right so that nobody knew you were broken. We're broken. She wants to give me a hug every Sunday, and I need it. That's what Life Group is. It changes my life. I walk through life and I see a girl sitting on a bench crying, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? You want me to pray for her, sit next to her, hold her hand, go buy her a Coke? And then you guys have broken me to the point where I'm just like, I got to ask her, are you okay? What can I do for you? And then I have a professor tell me that Jesus isn't real. I was like, Jesus isn't real? I saw John Bonifacio sitting on a stool trying to figure out the math to make sure it laid flat so that we could worship God. But because of all the money that we pay him? No. Because he loves Jesus. He took 7,000 pictures in Haiti. He didn't miss one square inch of one place that we went just so that we could tell you the stories. And then he put it together in a thing. Man, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. Drag it, drop it, click it. I could blow up a computer in 3 seconds. But man, I had this gift. And man, I could ruin somebody's day. I could ruin a group setting. I could ruin a family setting with one word. That's just who I was. That's how I was. And I sure as heck was. If I got a little bit of Jesus, if I got a little bit of bread, I was going to keep it inside of me, and I was going to live off that, and I was going to starve and starve and starve and starve. But man, this is fresh bread, and I can't wait to get here on Sundays. And if there's life group, I want to be there. And if there's a combined life group, I want to be there. And if there's baseball camp, I want to be there. This year, I was like, Jason, man, if you don't need me, I won't come if you don't need me. And he's like, oh, well, I just assumed you were going to be there. And he always puts me with the person who doesn't know Jesus and doesn't want to talk about Jesus at their station. And it's always a challenge every year for me to work it in there. I mean, I love it. I don't see people. I don't view people as, what can I get from them for me? How can I help you? How can I love you? How can I pray for you? And my family, it's not that y'all have replaced my family. It's like the lines are gone. There's no non-family and non-family. If there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus, it's just somebody that's broken and busted, and I have the truth to give to them. I almost hit Miss Lori in the Food Lion parking lot the other day, and I saw her. She looked at me to make sure, you know, I wasn't yelling at her or giving her some, you know, of the sign language we use when we drive. And then she saw it was me and waved, you know. But, man, I love this. I'm going to tell you one more story, and then I'll let you sit down. Well, I'll tell you two more stories, and I'll let you sit down. Miss Stacy Cerrone, she's in the back. If you ever need, like, have a prayer request or you want God to do something in your life, ask her to pray for you because she's a prayer warrior. But you guys have given me the courage to just do things I would have never done. As simple as giving out little plastic lemons at church camp. And I give little Brianna one, and we tell her she's awesome, and I ask her the next day, I was like, Brianna, why did I give you that lemon? She doesn't look up. She's walking down the aisle. She's like, because I'm awesome. That's the love of God. It's that simple. And then, about 4 months ago, somebody I'm meeting with on a regular basis, and God told him to tell me something every time he saw me. And that was, I love you, and I'm proud of you. I'm almost 30 years old. I haven't heard it enough. I was starving for it. This place isn't about piety or religion. Coming here. These people really love you, and they ask you why you're not there because they love you, because they missed you, because they want to be with you. Those kids, man, they're living it out. Don't underestimate our kids. I didn't know if I was supposed to go to Nigeria or not. Jay Pascal, because he comes with one Sunday, is like, man, you going to Nigeria? And I started doing that religious two-step. I was like, I don't know if God provides the money, I'll go. And he's like, God told me I was supposed to do something for you, but I got to know if you're going or not. And I was like, okay. And I went home, I prayed. I was like, all right, God, I give up. Next day, I get a check for $250 from a guy I met, Golden Isles Church of God, right off of I-95. That place is important to me now because this guy handed me a check, a guy I'd never met. And then the Foresters, and then Miss Masako, and then Jay and Julie. And all of a sudden, I've got more than enough money. And I'm on a plane in Nigeria, and the one thing Dr. Okiri tells us not to do, I do as soon as we get into the international airport in Lagos, and that's take a picture. And I got these two guys in uniform standing over me like, what are you doing? That's not smart. And Dr. Okiri's like, Dusty's stepping away from me. You know? That was it, man. I was scared. If I didn't have Jesus, I got him in that moment. But, man, I love you. Michael Bonifacio? Man, he's living it out. He's got a plan. Don't get in his way. Mr. Delgado, he sits back there close to Dusty's dad. If you drive by his house anytime that, like, work's not going on, he's still getting it in the yard or fixing his cars. His two kids, they light up the world when they smile. You get them pointed in a direction, and they're going to get there. You give them a goal, they're going to get to it, without a doubt. That's about it.
Hey, James, come up here. No. Stand right here. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overtake it. Did you see it? You see it? Let's pray.
as we bow for prayer. We're going to open the altar today. Has God spoken to you? Is He speaking right now? What has He said to you? What He wants to say to all of us. On this rock, I'll build my church. There's nobody standing behind you or beside you or invisible. He's speaking to you. On this rock, I'll build my church. Lord, we ask you to come now. Lord, as we come to this time of ministry and prayer, we ask you to speak and move in us as we pray together, as we hear your voice, as we experience you. Lord, I pray for those who right now are here today. First and foremost, those who have never received you. Those that maybe got vaccinated with religion, but never got Jesus. I pray today. And Lord, for the rest of us who know you, and who you are calling today to be your church, your body, the hands, the feet. Lord, may we be obedient to you today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. As Gary plays quietly, to ask our other pastors to come and our life group leaders who are here. We'll surround the building on the sides here. If you want to come and pray at the altar or pray with these folks, they're available to you. This is your time. God has spoken here today. He is speaking right now.
Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus in my life. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my life. In my life, Lord, in my life. Lord, I want to be like Jesus.
Sure, like to get those
those cards from you. You have an offering to bring to the Lord. The basket's up here and basket in the back. Come on.
In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Lord, I want to walk like Jesus with my feet. Lord, I want to walk like Jesus with my feet. With my feet, Lord, with my feet, you carry me. As I go, Lord, I want to be like Jesus as I go, as I go, Lord, as I go, please let me show the love of Jesus as I go, as I go. Please let me show, show the love of my Jesus as I go.
Has the Lord spoken to you today? Did he miss anybody? When he was like that fellow out in Colorado Springs that wanted to anoint his city, he got the 55-gallon drum of olive oil and a sprayer and sprayed all the roads, and they were slip-sliding in the name of Jesus through Colorado Springs. Lord has spoken a lot of things today, and we thank Him for what He's done, His work today. I wanted to pray to share a couple of prayer requests. This is Al Colquitt. He is the uncle of of Evan Colquitt, who was a second murder victim this year in Savannah, Georgia. Al lives right across here. And he just wanted us to pray for their family today. And after the week that has been and all those things, this is serious business of getting it right with the Lord. He'll hear our prayers. Let's come to Him right now. Lord, I thank You for Your comfort. You are the God of all comfort. And I pray for Al and for his family. Lord, come and bring that comfort to them today. They can hear You. Know how much You love them. And Lord, we pray that the perpetrator of this crime will be brought to justice so that no one else can be hurt. God, I'm asking You to intervene. And Lord, we're asking the same for these other folks that, Lord, there's so many in our city who need You. Need You today. Come, Lord. Come. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I can just talk low.
Tell them what you told. No, we need it recorded.
Okay. This is my wife, Gail. I'm Anthony. And this is Dusty. And we're real close right now. But now, I grew up real Baptist. So that's kind of my, that's like my, take the, everything I say with a grain of salt that I grew up real Baptist. So this isn't very normal for me. But I've lived, today's my birthday. Don't clap. It's not important. But I've lived 28 years being very Baptist, where God speaks to pastors, God speaks to the ancients, you know, the old prophets of the Old Testament, that kind of stuff. God doesn't necessarily speak to the guy that's unemployed sitting in the house sending his kid to daycare so he can look for jobs. God speaks to, you know, the guys that are ordained. Well, my wife and me had decided that we're going to start living by God's word a little bit more lately, and that I need to be the spiritual leader of our family like God's called me to be. And part of that is just, you know, simple things like James in our life group talks about, simple things, praying every day, reading your Bible every day. I actually made it through Genesis from start to finish for the first time in my life. It took me like 5 days, which is only 50 chapters, but that's a big deal for me because I don't read. I don't. But recently, I've been coming up here to the church to pray. I've been talking with Dusty and Dane and everybody else. And I got a little word this morning, which blew my mind because I don't get words. But I feel like our family, and specifically Gail, Noah, and myself, but then that kind of extends to, like James was talking about, the blurred lines of my family, you guys and everybody else, that we're on the brink of something big. I don't know what that means. Gail was sitting over here asking me, what does that mean? I don't know. And it's relative. You know, big for you might not be big for me, or big for me might not be big for you at all. But we're on the word I got this morning is we're on the brink of something big. And I'm praying and I'm hoping that God can put our family in a position that when that big happens, whatever that is, that we can just take that step. And it's not a big step. It's not some big life change, that it's just the next thing. It's just like waking up the next morning, putting my underwear on and my pants on and taking my son to daycare. It's just the next thing, you know? So that's the prayer that I have, that you guys would pray over our family and over our church family, that whatever that next big thing is, that it's just the next step. It's just that next, yes, Lord. I'm already there, Lord. You've already put me there. Just yes. And we can take that step together. Mm-hmm. And we can just do His will.
Amen. Right on. That's right.
Amen. All right. not everybody, but a few of you, come on up here and let's lay hands on them and pray for them. Okay? All right. Lord, you're moving and you're working and we thank you. And we're joining our brother and our sister in this prayer. Lord, you are Lord of the circumstances. You are Lord of life and Lord of death. You're Lord of everything. It's all in your hand. Lord, we come in agreement with this family that they are on the very brink of something big. Lord, you are attracted to faith and trust and obedience. Lord, right now, we pray that these words and the recent actions of my brother and sister will multiply. Lord, there will be an exact agreement between what comes out of the mouth and what is in the feet and the hands. Lord, that it will be put together as one in their lives. Lord, as you're going to provide a job, as you're going to provide for this family, but more than that, Lord, you're going to lead them and their lives will become a sweet-smelling savor to the nostrils of God. Lord, I ask that today for them. And Lord, as we're praying for jobs right now, everybody else that needs a job right now, put your hand up in the air. Artie Richburg needs a job back there. We've got several people need jobs. Lord, we're asking you will provide. You who are Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides for His people. You will provide for us as a body. You always have. And we thank you. Lord, we're trusting you with the future. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I remind you, we want to get those cards from you and those prayer requests. We can pray over those. Because it isn't just what happens here. He's a 24/7 God. And so right now, in the name of Jesus and in His power, under the authority of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus the Son, I send you out as His representatives to be those luminaries. You're not the light. You're the reflector of the light. I pray you will reflect the light of the world, who is Jesus, into your world. Go in His name. Amen.